the insurance company don't tell you who you have to go and see. Well, he'd made up his mind. He'd made his choice of hospitals, and he finally went. And their youngest boy was Stephen. He was going to school East Warren when I was up there. And, he wondered how he was going to get to school. I said, there's your sled, and there's a big hill. You get on it and slide down to the main road, and then you can pick it up and run a while, and then you can jump on it and slide again. He looked at me, much to say, what do you know about it? Well, anyway, but while his father was in the hospital, he made it to school, took his sled with him. I said, if you don't need your sled over to school, I said, you can park it by the mailbox down the main road. And I said, bring it home when you come back. You'll have it the next morning.
I guess the Goves were a very musical family.
Yes. Robert was very much discouraged because he hoped to be a professional someday. But his health isn't very good now.
And Raymond was a fiddler and...
I don't know if he could read music, though. And his sister Thelma used to play chords for him. They made music, harmony. Yeah. Well, my mother tried to make a musician out of me, but I wasn't very cooperative.
I don't imagine that unless you like something... I imagine, would say just what you thought, which I think is great.
Well, I guess I'm a typical Yankee, I don't know. I grew up in a small town, and I'm not happy in a big place.
Well, tell me about the changes here, when they first started, and...
And it was so gradual, it was hardly noticeable, really. And, of course, this mill was never in operation after the flood.
Now, this was the butter tub mill.
This was the butter tub mill, and they made cheese boxes and so on. They didn't do lumber as such, building materials and so on. But this was there were two or three mills, and there were mill dams. There was a big mill dam down across the street here. And I've got some pictures where the spring breakup, where there was the ice jam all the way as far as you could see down the road, down the Mad River.
Oh, my gosh, and a lot of flooding?
Not necessarily. But this last breakup, the water didn't even get up towards the road.
So when you first came here, Warren was pretty much of a mill, logging, farming town.
There were a lot of single men that boarded in different places that worked in the mills. And... some were more professional with a board saw, but they didn't make, building material, lumber for buildings and so on and so forth. They didn't make that after we came here. The Brooks Mill. It's down where that fancy show place is, down below the natural dam bridge. They made duck pins and bowling pins, they called them. They were, bowling. For bowling alleys. For the games, you
all
see.
All done right here.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
They were cut and finished and painted.
I'll be darned.
And then they were shipped out. By that time, they used trucks were available, and they sent them out by trucks. I don't know whether they were delivered at their destination on a truck or not, or whether they were taken to the railroad and shipped on the railroad.
Well, now, when you first came, was East Warren still a thriving community, or was that mostly a farm community?
Well, it was a farming community.
But a thriving one.
Yes. Yeah, there was farmers all around. Rupert Blair had his uncle's place, and the Cathans. According to the records in the town clerk's office, I researched back to the charter of the town. And when this town was chartered, there were 5 lots that were designated for the first settled minister, the sport of the gospel, the English school, and public schools, I think, and there was another one I forgot. But where the Cathans live, way up in East Warren on the backside up there, that was one of the lease, and they leased this land. They didn't tax it. They leased it so many dollars for the track, or so much an acre or whatever. And I don't know how many years ago it is now that through the legislature they did away with the so-called lease lands. And so the property, as I understand, where the Cathans are, has come into the grand list in the tax. And through the town treasurer, the money that was available for those specified purposes was paid out of the general fund. But there's a missing link there somewhere. I don't know whether why the church wasn't entitled to an increase in their income off those lands or not. But it never changed. We had about 20 acres that was in the part of the ministerial lot. And it was rounded out eventually to $5. It was easier to keep the books that way than it was at $4.96 or something. And it was paid with your taxes, but it was designated as lease land monies. And the town treasurer kept it separate and dispensed it, I guess, to the different organizations.
So when you first came then, East Warren was pretty much of a thriving farming community.
Oh, very much so.
And here it was more a mill town.
Well, the village was retired people.
Uh-huh.
Older people.
Uh-huh.
Maybe they worked in the mill rather than in the woods. They didn't cut trees down, that kind of thing. They worked in the mills, some of them. And the Bradleys, there was a family of Bradleys. There was, I think, 3 brothers. And they owned this property at one time, along with the mill.
This house here, you mean?
No. Well, this house wasn't here then. It was here, that is, there was a house on this lot, but not this one. And they owned the house across the street. But that had been sold off before we came here. And the mill property, and there was another old house up on the knoll where that new house is now. And it was later, I guess it was torn down, I don't know. They called it the Mary Edna House. She married one of the Bradleys, Nelson, I think, Nelson. There was Nelson and Allison and I forgot the other one. you know, the people, the names of the people that were here, they've gone, they've died off, and the buildings and land have been sold, and the farmlands have been divided up into building lots, and where they had cropland, they've got a golf course. And
well, now that all started when the ski area came in, didn't it? Or
well, about that time, I guess.
Do you remember when that all started?
Well, the road was paved around in the 1950s.
Route 100.
And they drilled all that ledge across the river. Uh-huh. And changed the road, and Route 100 was on the other side of the river. And this strip through the village is Town Road 4.
And this originally was the main road, was it?
This was originally the main road. And way back in my record of deeds, there was a lot surveyed before the highway went to Granville through here. 4 acres and 88 square rods from the river. No road was in there. And it specifies that a certain party built a house there in 1875. And it burned in 1950. It was 75 years, I think. I think it burned in the 50s. But it had been a tenement house where, no, they were temporary owners. I don't think they rented. I think they were temporary owners. But it changed hands, seesawed back and forth. Then they split it to, I don't know. There are no fences, no lines, no what. I had a phone call, did you own such and such a piece of land that so-and-so sold? And I said, no, I never had title to that. But they didn't tell me who they were, and they didn't come and see me, but I still have my copy of the deeds from the records with the index. That is, I have the book and page where I found it. And we have paid taxes on this place for 63 years. On this land.
Now, did you build this house, or was it built, or?
Well, the original buildings burned. There was a big barn with a built-in silo. The silo was within the frame of the barn. And there was a cow stable, and there was a horse stable, and a basement barn. And you would have thought that between this stone wall out back here and the driveway was where the barn was. And you would have thought with a basement barn there, with the stable cleanings all in there, there would be odor. But there never was. There was never any seepage into the cellar. And the cellar is still a stone wall. And it doesn't go only from about half of the size of the house.
So did you have cows and horses and a small farm? Or?
Yeah, we had tie-up for 13 head of cattle and 6 horses. We always raised a pig or two. We raised 2, we'd sell one, and have to dress off the other, and pack the meat, cure the hams and bacon. I can cut up a beef, I can cut up a pig. I could. I haven't got the muscle for it now, but I could have, and did.
Did you milk by hand, or?
I never milked. I fed animals and I cleaned stables, but I never milked.
Now, did your husband milk by hand, or?
Yeah. Oh, yes. We never had a milking machine here. But we did have a separator, and we shipped cream.
Uh-huh.
From dairy. But Oh, times have changed. But the price of fluid milk, you know, people, farmers have kind of gotten discouraged, and somebody offers a big price for a piece of land, it's the easy way out.
Yeah. When did you get rid of your cows?
Oh, there hasn't been any animals here since Raymond was in school. And from school, he went right into service. And when he got out of the service, he got married, and he's lived in Alabama ever since.
So 30 years ago?
40? Yeah, 40 years ago or more. So this hasn't been, even the hay hasn't been cut in more than 40 years.
How much land do you have right around here?
Well, according to the deeds, there should have been 80 acres.
It seems to me that most of the farms around here were about that size. They were small farms.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think the Blair farm, where Rupert is, I think that was a big farm.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. The Fred Elliott farm was quite a sizable farm. And the DeFries farm was a large acreage. And they have one of the only dairies in town. I don't know, but it's the only dairy in town.
I think it is.
And one of the boys that grew up here, he lives in Waitsfield. He has a farm with animals. Neil.
Yes, Elwin Neil.
Elwin Neil.
Yes, I talked with him.
He still has dairy.
Yes.
Farm, and there's another one down the Waitsfield way somewhere, I think. But that milk goes in a tanker truck.
Well, a lot of farms, I guess, went out when you had to put in milk tanks.
Yes, I think so. They couldn't handle the expense and so on, and of course. Their inspections for milk quality and cleanliness and so on and so forth. And you couldn't have, well, we didn't have cattle because we couldn't have horses and cattle in the same stable. That was a no-no, among other things. But I could teach a calf to drink.
How'd you teach a calf to drink?
I put my leg right around his neck, put my finger in his mouth, and I pushed his head right down into the bucket of milk, and he drank. Yeah, and I fed pigs, and I never worked in a hayfield much. I never worked. I never stood on the hay on the load because it's just too sidling. Yeah, we raised crops. We raised potatoes, and we had oats one year and had them thrashed. But it was didn't have much storage space for grain. We could buy it cheaper, and we could grow it and store it. So, and I haven't had a wood fire for, 25 years, I guess.
Is that right?
It's all gas now. The water heater, that little gadget in the corner there is my water heater.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you first came here, did you have electricity?
No.
Because that came in, that must have been a big change.
Well, we had the other. There was another house over there, and we had that wired. We had lights, but no power to speak of. I didn't have a refrigerator for a long time, but the cellars were cool, and we had milk twice a day, so we didn't have to keep it over. question. Now, what's milk? It's processed till, what is it?
Yeah, I talked with Alden Bettis, who used to pick up milk.
Yeah, Alden picked up our cream. He's quite a character.
Yeah, he was terrific.
Yeah.
And Ed Irish also suggested I talk with...
did Ed tell you his mother worked in the post office here?
I don't think he told me that.
Yeah?
We talked a lot about the farm and his father and his grandfather.
Yeah. But it I think you had to go up where the Sugarbush Hill is now.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
To get up there.
Yes.
And this road here goes over Lincoln Mountain.
Yes.
On the other side of the river. A lot of people don't like go over Lincoln Mountain, but I still rather go there than to go over the turnpike.
Oh, boy, that scares me to death. I've had some rides.
Well, of course, I learned with the sticks, too.
Well, yes, but you must have had some pretty icy rides coming down over Roxbury Mountain.
Oh, there were times, yeah, but usually with the horses we were on until the roads got pretty well settled. We had a snowstorm one September before the leaves had even changed color. And I was driving the car, and I made it in that wet snow over the mountain.
Without getting stuck?
No, I didn't get stuck. No, I had a Model A Ford.
I'll be darned.
Coupe with the rumble seat.
I love it.
Yeah. I didn't know I'd make it or not, but I thought if I didn't, I'd go as far as I could. I run out of gas a few times. But usually everything worked pretty good.
Well, you know, there are very few people who would do that today, I think.
Well, I don't know. The women are in a lot of jobs that they didn't do then. A lot of farmers' wives went to the barn, did barn chores, and fed the chickens and small animals. Most everybody had a dog. In the village, there was a barn for every house, I think, and they had a driving horse. If they had needed to go any farther than they could walk, they had a driving horse. And I think probably Waitsfield had as much bulk grocery business and supplies and clothing and so on. There were two stores here. Roy Long had a store, and then Parker and Ford had the other store across the street that's been torn down now. And Von Drew was there at Pitcher Inn when we came here. She sort of got, after her husband died, I guess it was her father's place. I don't know. She was a brag. She kept the inn down there. Sort of got forced into it.
Now, she has a daughter over in Randolph, doesn't she?
Yeah. Gwendolyn.
Yeah, because somebody said...
Cameron.
Yes, because somebody suggested I go see her.
Yeah, well, she grew up here, and then she went to Massachusetts to live, and so on. And I guess it's a brother. Pete Drew, Rosmoyne, Pete Drew. He lived in Barrie.
Uh-huh.
A long time. I guess he's still alive. I don't know. He was in the service, and he was in the submarine, I think, that went under the ice.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Huh.
I believe that's right.
Well, I guess here, when you had the two general stores, they were a whole lot different than your store is now.
Oh, yeah. Well, we couldn't buy fresh vegetables. We couldn't buy potatoes. And the Parker and Ford store didn't have meats or potatoes or vegetables. They had staples, flour and sugar, and I guess some old gloves or odds and ends, caps, or I don't remember much about clothing.
Did people used to go in and sit around and by the stove? Or had that pretty well gone out?
There weren't any chairs in the stores, I recall. There might have been a perch, a stool at the counter where you could sit. Yeah, but you didn't go like in the supermarket and pick up your groceries. You ordered it and they brought it to the counter, and a great many of the farmers depended on their sugar crop season, and they were allowed credit, and then the buyers would take their syrup or sugar or whatever they had to offer and pay up their bills till the next season. So there was a lot of business was done on pound paper, and people's credit, man's word, was his bond. And there were no banks in the valley. We had a doctor.
Dr. Shaw, was it?
Well, Dr. Shaw lived in Waitsfield. He had originally, he'd lived before that, he'd lived over on the mountain somewhere in Roxbury.
Uh-huh.
And then the house down by the covered bridge, there was a retired Dr. Campbell lived there. But he didn't do very much. He had his office was in the basement of his house. And there's a little apartment down there. I don't know. It's been sold so many times. I don't even know who owns it now.
Well, there were a lot of home remedies in those days, too, I guess.
Oh, yeah. You
go to the doctor every 2 seconds.
Yeah. Well, you know, some of the home remedies are basic, what the medicines are made of.
I know. It always amazed me, goose gizzard tea. Now, who would have thought of that? And it had pepsin in it, like Pepto-Bismol, and was for children's stomach aches. Or
yeah.
I mean, the early remedies.
Yeah. Catnip tea, and ginger tea, and yeah, mustard plasters, salt pork. I used to bind on salt pork to fight infection. Well, between the grease and the salt, you see, they didn't have much chance.
Yeah.
And we used to call it court plaster.
Court plaster?
Yeah. Sticky tape, you know.
Uh-huh.
What do they call it now?
Adhesive
tape. If you had a lame back, they might strap you up with bands of adhesive tape. Then the chiropractors came into vogue. And I never had a chiropractor adjustment.
I never did either.
I went to an osteopath one time. But my flesh was so tender, I was all black and blue, even from that. Yeah.
How about sulfur and molasses? Did you used to?
Oh, very definitely.